everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Watcher podcast. My name is Saad Salman. I'm the founder and editor of the Royal Watcher, a royal commentator, and a royal contributor for alt.com.
And my name is Sam Gillespie. I am the editor of the Beaumont. I have a background in fine jewelry and a long-held fascination with history and royalty.
And today we're joined by a very special repeat guest who has appeared on the podcast quite a few times before. Jacob, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello again. My name is Jacob. I'm not a professional blogger or anything, but I've had an interest in the Scandinavian royals mainly for all my life, I think.
For today, we're talking about probably the event of the year, the coronation of King Charles and Queen Camilla. And today, with Sam and Jacob, we have a very kind of special episode in that the three of us were part of the coronation festivities, in a sense, because we all met and we were able to discuss it in person. And now we're going to kind of do a recap online for everyone.
Yeah, it was definitely an experience that,
A wet experience.
Definitely, yeah, no, it was... We'll talk about that in a bit, but it was, I think, from our expectations going into this, because me and Sam recorded an episode, which I think would be the last one before this is published, about kind of what our predictions were. And I think the three images that I've chosen for this cover page right now, that represents kind of what was, I think, the best parts of the coronation. The king, the queen, their outfits, the crown, the big coronation necklace. And I think that's what really was, according to what I wanted. The rest, we will have some comments about that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so events started for us. Basically, there was a reception at Buckingham Palace in the afternoon of, it was the 5th of May, yeah, for Commonwealth governor generals and prime ministers. But the main one for us was this big reception for the foreign royals and other heads of state at Buckingham Palace. And people can see kind of the British royal family interacting with all the foreign royals in quite kind of intimate ways.
Mm, very much so. And it was nice to see the heirs that were also joining in at the reception. So if you're watching on YouTube, girls in the middle picture are the heirs to the thrones of the Netherlands and Belgium. Yes. So it's nice to see that they're being put on the royal rota at such a young age.
Oh yeah, and we're going to see them in a couple of days at the Jordanian royal wedding. So their introduction onto the royal stage, and the fact that they're starting at these major events is quite amazing to see that at this age that they can kind of handle something this high scale.
Mm.
Yeah, but my kind of favorite part, and I think something Jake and I were discussing as well, is in the middle picture. You can look at the back. There's Crown Princess Marie Chantal, King Felipe, and right behind Queen Anne Marie is Queen Letizia. And you can see their reconciliation is in full swing right now.
I think she's showing Felipe that she deleted the tweet she made about Letizia. So
I did.
I mean, that picture of them attending, walking out of the restaurant in Athens arm in arm, that is, I think, my second most popular article of the entire year. So
yeah. And it's one of my most liked tweets as well.
Yes, and I think your tweet is in my article, and that's one of the reasons it's popular. So yeah, people love to see them getting together. Yeah, and so it was an interesting event. I mean, we expect what we hoped for, tiaras and a proper coronation reception, but
Queen Anne Marie snuck a little bit of a tiara in. If you see the picture of her in her green dress, that brooch she is wearing comes from the Greek antique corsage tiara. So I'm going to count that as a tiara. There were tiaras there.
And Grand Duchess Maria Theresa is not visible in these pictures, but she brought stuck in a tiara as a necklace.
Oh, she did, yeah.
Some people had the right idea in mind.
And the emeralds, I mean, they are
part of the old Swedish, now Norwegian, Emerald Perur.
Yes.
That has been present at the last, well, now the last four British coronations.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And three of them have been for different countries, representing different countries.
Yes. So it's really amazing. And also, I was thinking that the Queen Astrid link is one of the ways that the Luxembourg royal family are related to the British royal family through King Christian. So that may have also been a part of, because Maria Theresa has not worn that, I think she's only worn it once before. So it may be something that she was thinking about when she chose that for this event.
Yeah, hopefully. I like hopefully. It. I like it when you can tell that they've been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah, so it was an interesting event. Jewel wise, not except this stuff you talked about, not too interesting. Well, I mean, the Queen of Bhutan stuck in a mini tiara in her traditional dress, but that was as tiara wise we got. But for the three of us, the most exciting event was when we got to see them arriving for dinner right after the reception.
Yay!
Yeah, I think that was a night to remember for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it's like celeb watching, but like classier.
Yes.
Well,
they are class.
Well, yeah.
Not classier. The same
okay. Yeah, I mean, we took pictures of them. Not as classy, but we went there for something and we had to prove it. So I think for me, the highlights were seeing the King and Queen of Bhutan.
Yes.
Mary, and then Princess Anne rushing in.
Well, I got there on time, so I got to see, and I didn't take my camera out because I'm an idiot, Crown Princess Victoria when she entered with King Gustav and the Greek royal family. I got to see them.
You did. My future parents-in-law, if God willing, but... Yeah, but the thing, I really, really wanted to see Victoria and the King. I've seen the King before. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Swedish. But I've never seen Victoria before. So, well, another time.
No, she was very well put together.
And I mean, Jacob, aren't you off to Stockholm for the Jubilee? So you might see her there.
I don't know. It depends on the how high the possibility of the public getting to see some bling for the banquet, but as I've told you before,
I'll try my best to get you access inside.
I'll have to think about it, but as I told you, I mean the Stockholm Palace is so big that the guests are not going to be. They're going to get out of their cars in the courtyard, so you won't get to see that much, I think.
Oh yeah, if it's not a lot of guests, then you won't really see them leaving the hotel either. So there's no.
No, point. Exactly. So maybe, who knows?
Yeah, but I think we did get to see the other two Scandinavian crown princely couples, which was. Mm-hmm. Not a bad trade, in my opinion. But it was quite interesting. And the fact that I think for me, the highlight was that we saw them so intimately. There were no massive crowds and they were right in front of us. And it was very chill in a sense that we weren't.
It was. Are we allowed to say which club that they were at, do you think?
Yeah, we can say that.
Okay, because I was going to say, basically, the door staff at Oswald's, which was the club that they were at, were really nice. They could have been really snotty and really pushy and whatever, but they knew we were being respectful and we were standing at a safe distance and not like the Daily Mail photographer that was like running up to them. And they were really polite and pleasant. And, you know, at the end of the night, I said, you know, is anyone else coming? And they were like, no. And yeah, lovely fellas. So shout out to the Oswald's door staff.
It was very, I must say, it was very Scandinavian. I've been to a few Danish events where you can get really, really close.
Yeah, it's like when me and you attended the Danish Jubilee Gala thing and we saw in the second day where it was just like we saw them arrive and it was totally casual. I think we arrived like 15 minutes before they entered. It was it gave a similar kind of vibe, which is very rare for British royal events in London, especially with this many heads of state and royalty there.
Yeah, so it was very nice. So I think, you know, we were standing at a safe distance. We weren't screaming or shouting, even though I really, really wanted to at one particular royal, and not in a positive way.
We won't mention names.
No. But yeah, no, I think it was really nice. It was a lovely evening.
Yes, no, it was lovely. And that is the reason I think Jacob and I decided the next day that we should kind of skip getting soaked and we're better off watching the TV, the coronation on the TV from Jacob's lovely apartment rather than kind of going and braving the crowds.
Yeah, I mean, we had made plans, but it was raining.
We went out and then all the places were blocked so we couldn't really get anywhere.
The weather this year has just been atrocious. I mean, still, I mean, we're recording this at nearly the end of May. It's still a little bit cold. And so the fact that it was raining didn't put a dampener on things, but definitely, you know, wasn't great.
Yeah, it was like pretty like hard rain. It wasn't like a little bit of a drizzle.
Proper British drizzle. Proper
pouring it down, yeah. And it was going to be miserable, but then the king and queen set off from Buckingham Palace in the Diamond Jubilee State Coach, which I saw a couple of days later at the Royal Mews, and it's actually a lot prettier in person because you get to appreciate all the fine details, but it's quite comfortable, and Charles and Camilla looked all right, a bit nervous when they set out, and then when they arrived at the Abbey, they were followed by the Prince and Princess of Wales and two of their children, while Prince George was somewhere, I think he arrived earlier because the pages just appeared out of nowhere as when the king and queen arrived.
Yeah, and couldn't you in the video that they posted on Twitter of them getting ready to leave the Kensington Palace? I think it was only Charlotte
Louis,
and
yeah.
What's his name? Louis. So
George must have left earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, no, the king arrived wearing that ancient regalia and the robe, which is I think 100 years old, or from 1911.
Over 100.
Over 100. So yeah, no, it's held up pretty well, but it was interesting to see. I really like the procession, and I think for me the favorite part of this part of them entering in was when they started singing about Camilla first, and they were like, "Vive at Regina Camilla," which I was like, "Well, that's nice to see."
But the procession, didn't we? I know that we talked about it when we were watching, but haven't we been? Is it just a rumor, or have we been told that there was some kind of mix-up that the Waleses should have entered before the king and the queen? Or
I would say we're not sure.
Social media rumor.
I'm not sure, because I would have thought traditionally they would have gone in first and then the last person to enter would have been the king, you know, like a wedding with the bride. But then some, you know, the palace are saying, no, they were supposed to go last. But who knows?
It's very odd. Kind of one of the things I think my overarching comment and something Jacob said was that we were not really meant to see the coronation in kind of HD and in this level of like live detail.
Yeah, that was my
there were so many mishaps that like it kind of took away from the whole regalness of everything, because it wasn't as dignified seeing it all kind of happening live.
I mean, you text me directly afterwards and you were like, "What did you think, Sam?" And I was like, "I genuinely don't know." And I think like you and Jacob, I'm used to seeing these kinds of ceremonies in like, grimy Pathé footage, and not seeing the whole things down to, you know, the grey hairs on people's heads. So to see it as an actual thing was like, I don't know, it was odd. Very odd.
But the footage, we can see the whole coronation of 53. What we can see, what available on YouTube, is that the live transmission, or is that the
I believe it's the live It's a live transmission, but the whole thing was heavily staged managed by the Duke of Norfolk. Yeah. And every single angle, every single movement was heavily directed, in a sense where this coronation didn't have that same level of detail put in. Because we hear from like all the ladies in waiting and stuff that, and Glenn Connor, that literally everyone knew where to stand for the day of the coronation, everyone that was a part of it. Whereas this time there were so many awkward moments where you're like, this could have been better rehearsed for the way this was showing on camera, where they were a bit sloppy, as we'll discuss later on with the crowns and stuff. But yeah, one of the whole things was that so much kind of level of detail that was managed, whereas this one, everything, you could see everything from every angle, and just took away from that magic. And then, so the king and queen sat down, and I think one of the things that Jacob and I were talking about, I think the entire time, was the lady holding the sword. I believe she is a UK Conservative politician, Penny Mordaunt, I believe.
Yes.
And she was holding the sword, and she had this quite unique outfit, which was inspired by the traditional uniform that her office holder would have worn, that was made for males. But this is kind of her interpretation of it with the ferns. And we were saying that she actually looked quite dignified, and the way she was carrying that sword, even with that neck brace for so long, must have been quite a hassle for her.
And I didn't realize that she had a neck brace until she
took it off.
She handed the sword over, or she changed swords, or whatever she did. And that's when I realized that she had a break, because I was very impressed by her sword holding skills.
And I like this picture because you can see the pages at the corner, and they have a totally uninterested expression on their face. That's one of those whole things about this, seeing it all in detail, is that you can see every single aspect, and it's not always the best thing. But yeah,
but from the old, I mean, from the previous coronation, we have that photo of Charles, where he's looking very, very bored.
Oh yeah, which is actually quite lovely to see. In a sense, I was actually hoping for something similar from Louis, but they didn't focus on him that much, and probably for the best. And then there was William, who came in to kind of help clothe the king in the ancient robes. And he got presented with the regalia by a bunch of peers and religious figures. This is him being given the scepter with the Cullinan One diamond, which is the world's largest diamond. And I love his expression in this picture. It was the way he's staring at it.
It's mine.
My precious.
Yes.
Which is how I speak to massive diamonds as well. So, you know.
You'd be crazy not to.
Yeah. And then at that point, we got this like aerial picture of the Abbey, and you could really see the difference for this coronation and the last one, where people were really packed up. And this one, it was quite different. And it looked a bit kind of sparse in that sense, because it was seemed like quite a small gathering and not enough people for such a major.
And I was in the Abbey on the Monday after the coronation. And I mean, I've never been before. It's a massive church. But in the same way, this area, whatever it's called, it's quite small. It's not that big, actually. But as you said, I mean, I've seen the I've seen the footage from the previous coronation, and it all seems much bigger then. But maybe that's because, you know, they had the cameras higher up in the Abbey, or to get a totally different perspective. But I was surprised about how much smaller than I had expected it was.
I mean, the one kind of building in London that's most impressed me was St. Paul's Cathedral, because of the scale of that place, which is very different compared to Westminster Abbey, which I think is much smaller in comparison. One of the things I've actually noticed, because the whole Cosmati pavement that was really the focus of this coronation, and that's, I think, what they opened for the exhibition that you attended, Jacob, that was not even uncovered for the Queen's coronation. So it's very much, they made that the focus, even though it took place in the same area of the Abbey. It's just very different.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can really see the whole kind of scale. And I think the lack of people being there, and then the fact they weren't as, you know, decorated in robes and crimson and diamonds and stuff, that made quite a bit of a difference to the whole overall effect of things.
Mm.
It was not that visual spectacle that we were hoping for. That's all I'll say.
No, but my one gripe, when Kate said she wasn't going to wear a tiara, that is a tiara on her head. And I will quote from a dictionary or Wikipedia. Tiara is a headband made out of a precious metal set with gemstones. That is a silver headband set with crystals. Henceforth, tiara.
Yes. It's... Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, I should start out saying that I like Kate, so please don't come at me on Twitter, please. But that's just ridiculous. I mean, I totally get that, you know, they want to have a more modern version of an ancient ceremony, and that they you know, during the economical and political, with all the economical and political issues we have in all of Europe at this moment, that they don't want to seem too elitist and too, but that's just ridiculous. I mean, if she had worn a tiara, she'd actually saved money. And I mean, the other ladies, they would have looked, a tiara befits a coronation, you know.
Exactly. If you're not going to wear a tiara to a coronation, where else are you going to wear one without looking slightly nuts?
Yes. And, yes. And.
Yes, no, continue.
And then I was a bit happy to see Sophie and Alexandra and Brigitte and all the others attend wearing their Order of the Bath robes? No.
Victorian Order, the Royal Victorian Order.
So that was a nice surprise, but...
Yes. That was better than seeing them in coats and hats and stuff, so...
Yes, but at least if they had been wearing coats and hats, they would have made a statement.
Even for those order ceremonies where they were this, like, not for the Royal Victorian, but for the Order of the Bath and the Order of the British Empire, the Queen and the other royal ladies used to wear tiaras with their robes for daytime events up until, I think, the Queen last wore in 2015. So it wouldn't have been that unusual for them to wear a tiara with these robes either.
No. And well, we're going to get to the photos later, but it just looked odd.
It did, yes. And one of the things I want to point out before we move on is, if you can see the mouse here, the royal guests were sitting back here at 1950 coronation. And then this year they were more near the front, which was actually a pleasant surprise if you remember how they were treated last year during the Duke of Edinburgh Memorial, and they were like four rows back. So this was a much more dignified way to treat kind of the foreign heads of state that were attending.
Did they even see it? I'm just looking at the picture and I'm like, there's a big pillar in the way.
Oh, there must be, but like the entire royal family. Like, look, they're sitting here. There's a huge thing here and no one could see anything.
But look, there are two screens. Can you see on the pillars?
Yes, I can see one here, one here. Yeah. Very interesting. But very interesting. I mean, still, like, the people sitting here, they probably couldn't see anything.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, no, very the placement of everything, like they could have sat them in the old spot, because you know there's this continuity of all the royals sitting in that area for
generations. Oh,
yeah. They get photographed because they're all about optics these days. Mm. Let's be honest. So now we get to the main event, which is the crowning of the king with St. Edward's crown. And I think mine and Jacob's, our like main reaction to this moment was the Archbishop did not know how to put the crown on. He should have practiced more, because you could tell both the king and later the queen were very uncomfortable initially after he put the crown on.
They never do. Didn't George the VI Archbishop do it wrong too?
Apparently, yes.
And Queen Victoria.
That was the reason behind them putting some kind of mark inside the crown or something for the Queen's Queen Elizabeth's coronation, I think.
Yeah, it was a bit of cotton, I think they said it was.
But then someone removed it before. for them. And then usually there would have been the homage of the royal dukes, the peers, and all of that. But then since there's a bit of controversial royal dukes these days, we only had the Prince of Wales coming up and doing homage to the king. And one of the things I found slightly odd, and I know it was really the tradition that they should have the person holding the speech up, but I thought that he should have kind of remembered those two or three lines and able to say it by heart at this such a solemn moment.
I don't know. Maybe it was nerves, but let's put it down to nerves.
Yeah. No, it was, I think that's one of those things about it. We knew they had the same messages back in 1953, but we couldn't see them, so it didn't matter that much. Now we can see them. It takes away from that magic, as we were talking about.
Yeah, 100%.
And yeah, so there's that. And then here's the king in full technical glory. It's a lot of look, is all I'll say. Gold robes and vestments.
I must say, I prefer this look to the one he had on when he left the Abbey. I didn't rate the purple.
Yeah. Oh, I did not. I think it was 1902 when King Edward VII decided to wear military uniform instead of these, like, I don't even know what era, because the trousers were modern, but the tunic was, like, medieval.
Mm.
So I didn't really get the whole dress code, and it did not make sense. And he was wearing evening slippers with, like, buckles on them. So the whole thing was, it looked odd and kind of disjointed without, like, being from a particular time period.
Yeah, and isn't the robe itself supposed to be based on Byzantine designs or something?
Apparently, yes. Yeah. And then I think these were the robes that were made for George IV, so they are 200 years old.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. So, very impressive to see. There's the scepter with the dove and the big scepter, and then the St. Edward's crown, which she's only going to wear once, so might as well. Looking happy not to be ruled weird. But then we saw the crowning of Queen Camilla, and again, very uncomfortable for her. And you could see her kind of visibly like scooting back because he got too close, because there was her gown and her robes and then the Archbishop's robes, and it all seemed to get way too overwhelming for her.
Is it me, or should crowns go slightly more back on the head?
No, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so when he put it on her, it was like almost over her eyebrows.
Yeah. Yes. He put it straight on.
Yeah.
You could see her playing with it, you know, trying to get her bangs away or something.
Yeah, I remember that. And I thought, oh, God, don't knock it off. Don't knock it off.
Yeah, because it looked, she was visibly uncomfortable for at least a minute afterwards. And she kept on fixing it and going back to touch up. And the fact that, we didn't see any ointing kind of thing for her, which, like, I don't think she would have been kneeling on anything for that either, but still, there's this like whole ritual that used to happen for the crowning of a queen, and this kind of her sitting in this chair back there, and then Archbishop doing the crowning, and it's like this little side place. It just seemed a bit kind of odd and not as grand as one would expect.
Yeah, but previous queens, have they, you know, kneeled when they were anointed?
There's a famous portrait of Queen Alexandra kneeling. I mean, that portrait hangs at Clarence House in their drawing room, so they would probably be seeing it quite a lot, so they would know what they should be doing. I mean, yeah. I get Camilla is not going to be kneeling at this stage with a crown and then getting back up, but they could have made it a lot more dignified than this. As
yes, they could. They could.
Yeah. And then Camilla got up. She did manage to attempt a curtsy as best as she could with those huge diamonds on her head without breaking her neck off. Mm. But it was very kind of interesting thing. And then she walked up to the king and they both sat together on thrones.
Yes. And I mean, Camilla's curtsies have always, well, for a long time, they've been quite shallow or not as deep. But this was, you know, a very small curtsy, even for her. So that has to be because of the crown.
Well, you say that. What I heard was, do you remember everyone was like, well, why wasn't she at the reception the night before? What's going on? Apparently she's got a bad back. She's hurt her back.
Mm-hmm. I heard that too.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was what the poor lady could manage.
No. Also, this picture here where you see them sitting next to each other, you can see that the king has his crown a bit further back and Camilla's is just plonked on.
Yeah.
Yes. And as we'll see later on when they step out, the crowns are much better placed because they've been get a chance to fix them. I think this is one of the points where I really liked Camilla's coronation gown because it was perfectly suited for her age and this occasion. Yeah. It wasn't massive like the queen's coronation gown or that iconic, but it looked appropriate for her. Mm. And it was still grand enough for a queen. Mm. Yeah, so lovely that. And then they went back in and the king came out wearing the imperial state crown with the massive diamond and a change of clothes.
And the most violent shade of purple he could have picked.
The way it, I think we'll talk about that later, but it did not come off as regal as they would have hoped.
Yeah.
But then we had the procession down, and you can see the members of the royal family falling behind them. And this was, I think, my kind of favorite part in that how the royal family kind of fell in line. Fell in line in more ways than one is all I'm going to say. And the king and queen step into the Golden State coach, which is massive. I've seen it twice in the past year and it is huge, and the fact that how they managed to get into that must with all the crowns and stuff. But one of the fun things about that is it has a holder for the orb and the scepter.
Really?
So they're both, he doesn't have to hold, he can wave properly and they rest. So that was one of the original features of the coach when it was made in 1762
version of a cup holder.
Yeah. Orb and so there's that. And then I love this picture of them because this is the first time that Camilla looked even near being a bit comfortable with the whole situation, because otherwise they were both incredibly nervous and tense. Like you could see it on their faces. And by this time, she's like, it's almost over. It's done.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to wear the crown for much longer. So.
And yeah. I love Camilla, but I mean, there's a ghost hanging over the coronation that we, that they must have felt, you know, much more than we did. Everybody was thinking about a certain someone during that day.
Oh yeah.
The scary ones were the AI that people were creating. Go, this is what she would have looked like. It's like, oh, did she not? Would she not have aged then? No. Okay.
if she was still around, the coronation, I feel, would have been much more if she would have been the main character of everything.
Yeah.
Or even if she was the guest, you know, she would have been there. If Andrew Parker Bowles was there, Diana.
Yes. She would have been there.
Yeah. And that would have been quite something. Well, they must have been good friends by this point. Also, Charles's shoes. I just can't get over them. They looked quite pretty. But this was a major event. This was a review of all the Commonwealth and the British troops. And I think this was a touching thing, but I did not expect them to come out in full robes and crowns and stuff for this. So that was an unexpected surprise, but...
And was this a new ceremony?
Yes.
What? Yes?
Yes. And apparently Princess Anne was a part of the troops as well, because she was in the procession, and so she stood outside in the rain. Which, at her age, I mean, must be commended.
But I don't think any drops would dare to fall on her, so I think she was fine.
Definitely, yeah. Then the royal family appeared on the balcony of Buckingham Palace. And you can tell, okay, at this point, you can see Camilla's crown is much better placed. It's not the same kind of weird placement they had earlier. And then the king's crown, he actually, I don't know why, I had a weird kind of feeling before he wore it that it just wouldn't look, because previously the crown had been made much taller for kings, and the archers were made shorter for the queen to make it more feminine. And I wasn't really sure how I was going to look on Charles, but it actually doesn't look that bad. It doesn't look as kind of feminine with the diamonds as I expected it to.
I've just thought. And
I actually think that they should have made, was it Queen Mary's crown a bit smaller for Camilla? Because it's tall.
It's taller than the king's crown.
Yeah.
And look where the Kohinoor would be. They've put one of the Cullinans.
Yes.
Like Queen Mary did originally back in 1937.
It looks better.
Honestly, it does. And I mean...
I would say that arch is specifically made to fit that brooch.
Yes. Mm. It probably is because they removed, I think, 4 arches because originally there were 8.
No, that's a bit
and
much.
So... I like the crown. It just is a bit too tall for Camilla. Will she ever wear it again? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Like for the state of she might. I don't think she wears a circlet. Let's be honest. No. She's done.
But is there a precedence for the queen consort to wear?
Oh yeah, queen. Well, actually, Queen Mary wore it. I think 11 times in 25 years for state openings of parliament, and then she wore other. Tiaras for the rest. Yeah, the queen mother wore her crown for like 6 state openings, and then she wore a ruby one, and then there was the Second World War, and she didn't wear a tiara for that. So kind of there and there. There's precedence, but it's not that deep. And knowing them, they won't stick to it. So,
no.
And there's this image, which was iconic. Jacob and I both know what happened when you tried to see the bypassed. I saw some remnants of the blue and the red in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, we were hanging out of the window
in the wrong direction,
and then the flashlight happened, and then you remember that there was a skylight. So
there was a skylight, and there were windows on the other side of the on the stairs that we could have looked out of, and we would have gone the perfect because when we stepped out, the people on the buildings opposite us. We're looking on behind us, basically. And we didn't figure that out in time.
To be honest with you, it was so cloudy that day. I don't think you would have seen much.
Yeah. We saw just like a minute, like 15, 20 seconds later, there were like slight remnants of the blue and the red in the sky. And that was like it.
But the flypast was supposed to have been bigger, wasn't it? If not for the weather.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was really pouring it down, so it was quite difficult for them to do that. So we saw this, and then as we discussed in the past about kind of the dress code, one of the things I think, and this is kind of side before we worked in the working royals, is that the rest of the royal family were, in a sense, I think, better turned out. Lady Louise wore diamond necklace and earrings, so did Princess Eugenie, Princess Beatrice. All of them wore something from Gerard, which I found a bit odd because Gerard is not the crown jeweler anymore. And they were all probably loans. But they were, in a sense, better turned out than some working members of the royal family, I'd say.
Yeah, the thing is, Collingwood, who is the crown jeweler at the moment, they're a very small firm. They wouldn't have, as far as I know, the stock to lend out big pieces, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No offense to Collingwood. If you do, then by all means get in contact and correct me. But from what I know.
Yeah. We would love to have a conversation with them if they're interested.
Yes. And Martin Appleby, who last time I checked was the official crown jeweler.
Yes. Talk about how he redid the crown jewels for King Charles and Queen Camilla.
Yeah. I mean, I know where okay. We should totally get in contact with him.
Definitely. Yeah, no.
We're talking about, you know, crocheted tiaras and hats and whatever. But one thing, if this picture, I mean, Princess Alexandra, God bless her. I mean, she really cries out for something on her head. You know, a small tiara, a small hat or something.
Could have taken those diamond flowers off her own tiara and wore them in her hair. Let's
be honest.
Maybe
that's what Marina would have done.
That's the thing. They sold all Marina's jewels, so she can't wear any of them.
I mean, if it was Marina, she would have popped in with a tiara, whatever the dress code said.
Yeah, she should have had that diamond bow on. She would have had a fringe tiara. They don't dress like they used to.
Oh, yeah. And I think this is the time to talk about the elephant in the room. I think it was... I think from a kind of seating point of view, it was quite disgraceful for them to put Prince Harry way back there since he is the king's son. They should have put Camilla's children were in the front row on the opposite side. If they didn't want to seat him with the royal family, they could have seated him with them. It would have not made that much of a difference, but I felt like he needed to be there as the king's son in a more front row place, befitting kind of where his spot in the family is, not just the institution.
Yes. I mean, I'm no fan of Harry, but they should have done better.
Yeah, it was too petty on a day like this, where I was like, this should not have happened. They should have kind of known better to do that.
Yes.
Well, that's a hornet's nest I'm not kicking.
And then we come to the working royals and this portrait where we saw the Princess of Wales for some reason had a beautiful diamond necklace that she hid underneath her, apparently a cape, though some people aren't buying that, for the ceremony, and then took it out for official portraits. I liked the gown. I wouldn't mind seeing it again for state opening of Parliament. I'm not a fan of the gown, the necklace with the earrings. I don't think the whole thing matches. Same thing with Sophie. I think both of them chose modern jewels when they could have gone for something more heirloom, something tied to the late queen, which would have made much more sense than the kind of modern earrings that they wore, because that was all that was visible.
I must say, looking at this photo, I hadn't noticed it or thought about it before, but looking at the ladies, I must say that I like Brigitte's dress the most.
Oh, yeah.
Brigitte, because she had this, the collar that stands up a little. It makes it look a bit more regal.
Definitely.
And I also like Alexandra's outfit.
Yeah. Especially with the Order of the Garter. And I think with Brigitte, I like it because she was, I think, my best dress because of the diamonds and the fact that she wasn't afraid. I think she had her tiara ready to go in the last moment, hoping that he might change. But
I'm sure.
I love how she looks. And with Alexandra, they're propping her up. And
oh, thank you.
To be honest here, I feel for this portrait, Anne should have worn her mantle again of the Order of the Thistle. I didn't like that she took it off for this, because that would have looked more complete, because yes, she's wearing a uniform, but the mantle would have added that dressy bit, whereas in the uniform it kind of stands out as like an odd one out.
I literally just noticed that she's in military uniform and not that she, you know, is one for putting on a dress, but I've just noticed that.
He was like, no tiara, I'm not even gonna bother with this whole, imagine her wearing a headpiece.
Yeah
yeah
no she wouldn't so No, she looks lovely, but she wore a mantle earlier in the day, the Order of the Thistle, which would have actually been interesting of a thing for her to wear, and I felt like she should have done that more as well.
But she'd been on horse through London, and her mantle probably still at the Abbey or something.
Oh yeah, you have a point there. But yeah, no, I think there's she stands out, and not in a good way, because all the men are wearing kind of uniforms in that sense. And she, I mean, even her husband has that little, like, the coat with the train on it that makes him look a lot more regal than just plain military. But I love that both Anne and Sir Tim were included on, like, the top floor of the platform with the king and queen, because that really reflects their position. But I don't, like, overall positioning of people in this portrait, I feel could have been better.
Yes. They should have, well, they should have been more together, and how do you say it in English? They are oddly centered.
Yes, it's odd placement. You're talking about oddly centered, and then I feel like they could have done the Gloucesters together on one side, both of the Kents at the end, and then divide everyone else. So and the Wessexes, and then the Prince and Princess of Wales beside the King and Queen. Have them in the center, and then it would have been like more symmetrical, and then based more on her ranking.
But of course, I mean, if Alexandra had trouble standing up, her brother wouldn't have been able to help her, because
why didn't they get her a stool, just like a discreet stool that she could lean against? Do you know what I mean? You know, like the type that they have for actresses when they can't sit down in their tight like costumes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, who's doing the planning?
They could have had one of those in red velvet.
Yeah.
I mean, and the whole thing is that I think a few days ago, Alexandra was at the Chelsea Flower Show and walked totally normally. So I don't know if it was a temporary thing, or maybe she was just fatigued after wearing that robe and stuff.
Maybe.
Or as many elderly people are. I mean, they have their, you know, they're either on and off. And we, as we saw during the Queen Elizabeth's funeral, the Duke of Kent, he was walking very, it looked painful when he was walking. And it.
But he did it.
And at the coronation, he seemed to be doing fine.
Yeah. But it was interesting, like their health and stuff. And another kind of thing for Brigitte is, the buttons she has on, those are heirloom diamond brooches as well. So she really packed on the diamonds there. And with kind of the Kents, Alexandra, I expected her to wear something more kind of bigger, but then she chose her pearl earrings, which are kind of her classic thing. And her choker has a brooch, which was a gift from Queen Mary. And she actually lost that brooch during a ball in Stockholm in 1962. And they apparently discovered it later on, but it was like a whole chase for 2 days.
That's not when she headed the what was it, the British trade organization celebrations.
No, it was connected to the first visit to British trade, because she did one in 62 and one in 67, where she has that picture with Princess Sibylla.
Exactly.
62 was the one she was with King and Gustav Adolf. And there's that picture of her dressed up. Yeah. So she was pretty close to the Swedes back in the day. Yeah, so from the Working Royals, I think it was a good show. Sophie and Catherine could have done better with their kind of jewel selection. I liked Sophie's outfit, but not for a coronation. No. Like, she can't wear this again to the Royal Variety list, to be honest. So interesting choices. The Working Royals, they look regal, more regal than we expected with the robes, because I expected this picture to be with ladies in suits and half, and that would have really destroyed us. This is nice. There's this, and then we go with the King and Queen, and we can see their outfits in detail. And now it's time to talk about the King's stance, because him sitting in that outfit ruined all the official portraits. I really hope they have some of him standing, because even in this one, when he's standing, it's not that much better, let's be honest, but still better than the way it's crumpled up when he's sitting.
It's because
it doesn't look regal.
But it's the shade. It's the shade of the purple. It's like the purple on the cloak is, you know, royal purple. That is like, as a British person, and people maybe can Google it if they're not from Britain, it's Cadbury purple, I would say, which is a chocolate company.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's that's Cadbury purple, and it clashes with the gold as opposed to the darker purple,
which looks very regal and
very regal. And it's it just doesn't work.
Yeah, no, I think this was also one of King George VI's outfits that he kind of wore.
Yeah, but he was in black and white, so that didn't really matter.
He was in black and white with white breeches underneath, which probably made a bit of difference. And also, he was tall, slim, and in his 40s.
Yeah.
Which Charles is not, let's be honest. So it did not look nearly as regal as it should have, I think. And the portraits and the way, I think they could have fixed the way he's sitting a lot better than he looks, I think, right now. For him.
Yeah. It's a shame they have to do it on the day when they get, you know, let's take the pictures now. Can we come back and do it later, maybe? You know, that would be better. That's what I would have done.
A full-on photo shoot afterwards for Instagram?
Yeah. It's all about Instagram.
That would be a great thing to do.
Yeah. And as we saw, I mean, as we saw in something I found quite revolutionary, actually, during the Bavarian wedding this week, that they took pictures of the bride that were released before she left for church.
Oh, yes.
I mean, of course, the king can't wear his crown before he's crowned, but...
Oh, no, he did wear it for rehearsals and stuff, for sure.
Oh, yeah, he did. So they could have taken it wouldn't be as authentic, but it would have given them time to get the photos on the day right. Or better.
I think the overarching thing that I think we're all discussing here is that it just doesn't seem to have had the same amount of planning that the last coronation had. And I mean, you know, we were all stood outside Westminster Abbey, weren't we, the night before? Mm-hmm. And we were saying that, you know, in the footage that you've seen from 1953, there were stands, it took 18 months to plan, it was, you know, the rigmarole, the training, the everyone in a certain place. To me, this seems very, very rushed.
Right.
As is, and don't get me wrong, if I'd been the Prince of Wales for like 60 years, I'd be like, get it on my head quick. But it's, I don't know.
Overall, it was not the regal kind of pomp and splendor that we were expecting.
Yeah, and well, kind maybe of we've just got really high standards.
That's true. I think nothing would have topped the Queen, because 1953, a 25-year-old young woman would like... very good looking, handsome husband. Yeah. That sort of level of glamour was not going to be achieved by Charles and Camilla, let's be honest.
Yeah, bless them.
Because both of them are older than my grandparents, and I can't even imagine them doing even half of these things. So the fact that they did it, and then the way that I think I remember us talking about this night before, that the whole thing with this coronation being rushed, and that term the press were using, cut price coronation. You could really feel it in the way stuff was done, because it was even like the Commonwealth service, like the Queen's funeral, that was extremely well rehearsed. You could feel every aspect of that was planned meticulously. This, not so much.
No, and I think that, you know, given the way that the funeral played out and was organized, I didn't really compare this coronation to Queen Elizabeth's coronation, but I compared it to the Queen Elizabeth's funeral.
Yeah, because that, like, if you even compare the timeline, the Queen's funeral was a good 10 days of extremely, like, meticulously planned events and rituals and all sorts of things. And there was not a single mistake during all of that. And that's the level of kind of precise planning and ritual we expected. Whereas for this, I think it was less than 3 hours total, and it did not measure up to that standard.
No. And it's quite strange because, I mean, we've heard, we've always known that, you know, London Bridge was being rehearsed every year, or at least every few years, and everything was meticulously planned. But we've also heard, so it was just like pressing a button when it finally happened. But we've also heard that Charles Coronation
Golden Orbits, what the
name was, I mean, Charles Coronation has been in the works since his mother's coronation ended. I think we've been told that the Duke of Norfolk had his first meeting with Queen Elizabeth about her son's future coronation a few weeks after her own was over.
Yeah, but it's a different Duke, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they've been through a few since then, I think. Two, three?
Yeah, I think three at least. So no, it's, yeah, you could, I think that was the general feel of the whole thing, was it was not up to standard.
And unfortunately, we've got high standards, so maybe we're not. The...
I mean, what the cost, I think it was 160 million. We could have done better.
Yeah, but I think, I do think when people do go on about the cost, a lot of it was for security and for the military and the amount of overtime. And, you know, we walked through the craziness that was the Mall the night before, the amount of stewards that they were paying for, the amount of, you know, Portaloos that they must have had to rent out.
That was the cost, let's be honest. It wasn't it wasn't Charles. I don't know what was the ridiculous stories. He was ordering a new carriage and a new crowd and stuff. And I was like, no, that's not. Yeah, that's not really done. And then I think, okay, talking about Camilla, one of the things I wanted to point out, that she was the one who had a new kind of mantle made. Mm-hmm. And you see her, I think it's a robe of state, not the robe of state. I remember the difference between the two. But this one, so she wore an older one when she was entering the Abbey, and then she changed to this one. It's purple and it has bees on it, which reminds me of the coronation of Napoleon, because his robes had bees on it, because that was the Napoleon. So very interesting. And I did not notice it on the day, but now that I look at the portraits, I can really see her dogs on the gown, and they're pretty prominent, which I did not actually see before. And the fact that her emblem's right in the middle there.
It's a bit odd, isn't it?
It's a bit, like, now you look at it, because in the footage it didn't look like that bad, but now it's like a bit.
Two little
dogs. I don't want to say the T word, but it's a bit tacky.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
No, it was interesting. She couldn't have worn something like the Queen's coronation gown. It was appropriate. It was nice for her, but these details could have been a bit more subtle. But no, Camilla, talking about the poses, Camilla looks so much more regal because she's standing up.
Yes.
Yes. So, win for Camilla. Sorry, King Charles. Try it with a better outfit next time.
But next time is next coronation.
Need opening of Parliament, official portraits, you know.
But don't you think it would have looked strange if he was standing up holding both the scepter and the apple?
Did he hold it?
No, not the apple. Sorry, that's Sweden. The orb.
No, he didn't wear it. Yeah, actually. Did he wear it on the balcony? No, we didn't have those. Well, the Queen had them on the balcony, that's all. But no, he was standing up when he left the Abbey with Orb and the Scepter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it looks odd, but it says regalia, he can do whatever he wants. But that still looks more regal with the robe kind of placed like that than when he was sitting down.
It does.
Yes. So, and then a week after the coronation, we got this portrait, which is the king with his two heirs. And actually, this looks a lot more regal than the previous portrait because of the way the robe is placed. And you can't see, it's not, the outfit is not as badly placed now as it was in that previous portrait.
If I were Charles, or the guy who handles his PR, I'd use this photo and edit out the other two. because this looks, it looks much better.
That AI Photoshop thing that's going around these days. Use that.
Is it me? Is it me or is that crown wonky?
It is.
Okay, thank
you. It is wonky.
Sure it is.
Sometimes I've got like a jeweler's eye on this, like on some things, and yeah. I'm just like, is that off? Yeah, that is off center.
I'm seeing this on a big screen right now, and it is pretty wonky. I see it all in detail. So, yeah, no. And with that, with this room, because this is the official throne room in Buckingham Palace, what this reminds me of is because this is the exact moment where I was standing. So I came up the stairs of the palace, and I was walking into here, and I saw the sight of those two gold things when the queen was dying, and that's when I first saw the message that the queen is not just mildly sick, she is about to go. Wow. So that's like whenever I see a picture of this throne room now, I remember standing right in front of the throne and reading that message, and I was like freaking out.
Spooky.
Yeah, it was because me and Sam were supposed to be together that day.
Yes,
it would have been the both of us freaking out then.
Yes.
But those carvings are actually, I believe they were transported here from Brighton or, no, Carlton House.
And I was going to say, they're very George the Fourth.
Yeah, they are George the Fourth, for sure.
Yeah. And
they were added later, but it's Grinland, because I saw a lot of Grinland Gibbons at Hampton Court and at Windsor. And this is that, but on a much grander scale.
Mm.
But I always find them like in portraits and stuff, when like in the old black and white ones, when you notice of the group portrait and stuff, it looks so out of place in those ones because they're just popping out. They're much darker than the rest of the decor. And they look really regal in this, but they do look like a bit of an afterthought that they've just hung up there because they had no other space. Because it's just the two of them. There's no kind of decoration to go along with it on the other walls. And they're just empty. It's just this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's an interesting visual. Again, I think this is the new chair of the throne that they've commissioned for King Charles, which, if I remember, the Queen never sat in again, but then some unsavory people did.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Very kind of interesting what will happen with this now. But yeah, this was my favorite picture out of the batch.
So they make nude thrones for every new monarch?
They did until this one, and they got the old thrones are sitting on right beside this new ones. So they used to have the King George the Sixth, King George the Fifth. Their thrones are in the same throne room. They're just the chairs on the side, while the Queen's thrones were on top of the platform.
All right.
But yeah, and now they reupholstered the Queen's throne, put Charles's on them. And I wonder what's going to happen with the fabric, because it was kind of a historical record, and now that's being used again. I mean, they had other things they could have reupholstered, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's strange. I mean, because to me, as a Swede, where we've had the same throne since the 1630 or something, that's a bit strange to make new ones.
Well, that's not really the throne, is it?
No.
I mean, like, the throne is the one that's in Westminster Abbey. That's the one from, well, it's supposed to be Edward
VIII's
one. So
I think it's 13-something. Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose that's more of a fancy chair.
It's what they have in the throne room at Buckingham Palace, but they also have a throne room at the Palace of Holyrood House. There's, I think there's room at Northern Ireland. There's definitely one at Windsor, which has an ivory throne from India, which they'd rather us forget. So, but this one is, I think what was interesting for these thrones is, so there were three thrones you saw at Abbey, Jacob, hopefully, because they had three. So one of them is the one that they put in here, and the other one of them is the official throne, and I don't even know what the third one is for, but they had three different chairs that they sat in.
All right.
Yeah, so this is one of them. But these ones have the monograms of the king and queen on them, which is what makes sense. So if you see over here, so the main official throne was the wooden one, and there's the two chairs and the top, and then these two chairs that they sat on later. So I think these two are the ones that are going to go into the palace, and these two are just random chairs that they sat on.
Random chairs.
Random chairs, which will, I think, there's one chair, I think the consort's chair that sits in like Chumley, with at Houghton Hall with the Marquess of Chumley.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that. So there's like, these won't really remain with the royal family, but the, and that's, that was the one they used to use for the state opening of Parliament. So there's some like weird rituals attached to these chairs as well. Okay. There's a reason they have new ones every time. But yeah, and I chose this picture because you can see the foreign royals, again, as I was saying, seated in a correct position, pretty near the front of everything. I wish they hadn't been in the past, let's be honest.
Wasn't there a bit of a controversy when they were just like, it doesn't make sense how they were seated. So could, isn't it something like at the back is the Danes, the Crown Prince and Princess of Denmark, and then up the front were the Serbians, and it's like, well, they're not even, yeah. You know. There was a whole hoo-ha, well, wasn't there, about that?
Yeah, there was a bit of a hoo-ha, especially because, like, it was said it was done because of the length of the reign. So King Carl Gustav, he has been reigning for 50 years, that's give or take. He was up there. A Sultan of Brunei from 67, so he's 55 years. Those two are in front. And then he's 97. They've been, well, the prince has been from 1988 or 89. He's okay. 88 as well. That's 2001. I don't know about the Bahrain. He's 2000. The Tongans are 2012. He's 2006. Albert 2005.
William Alexander.
For them, also the Qatars and the Belgians 2013.
Oh, there we go.
But start 2014. At these 2019. So this like whole, that makes a bit of sense. But then having the pretenders, the Greeks, the wait, are, yes, those are the, that's Spanish, Bunny, right? Yeah.
Mm.
But, yeah, the Spanish are there. Yeah. Yes, you were saying.
But I mean that there is, or there used to be, at least a protocol that if you represented your monarch, you would be seated according to the length of the monarch's reign.
The monarch's reign. And then Frederick and Mary should have sat in front of them.
Yes, and that would, because I wrote that on Twitter, I think, that the Liechtensteins, they are seated according to the length of his father's reign. But
and not his regency in that sense, yeah.
Yes, and then you but then the Danes should have been further to the front.
Yeah, further ahead, so
it's a bit of a mess.
It is, let's be honest. And but that was apparent and when they were entering as well. Because we have an anecdote to tell you. Is the Queen of Malaysia, she kept on emphasizing that she and the king were very kind of aware of the fact that there's lots of people buried everywhere in Westminster Abbey, and they did not want to step on graves. So she was a bit critical of the Bulgarians who were right in front of them, that they just walked over everything. Where she and the king went sideways around all the graves, and the king and queen of Thailand thought that was the way to go. So they did the same, and so they just led this like train of them going around everything. And she was like, it was a bit comical. And she told me that, like, I think two or three times that they kept on doing this. And the girls at the back were confused. Why are they going around stuff? And why are they walking kind of a zigzag pattern?
Good for them. I think they did the right thing.
Yeah, because they were very aware that, because in Islam, that you don't walk over graves. And she was like, Westminster Abbey is full of graves. And she thought it'd be very disrespectful to walk over the graves.
Yeah, but I mean, in a normal churchyard, you would never step on a grave.
Mm,
and yes. We have these in Sweden. Well, I'm sure you have them in Britain as well. We have these, if you get cremated and you can have your ashes scattered in a certain part of the of the churchyard, if you don't want to have a plot, and you're not allowed to walk, and that's usually like a field of grass,
okay.
And you're not allowed to walk on that either. So
that no, you're allowed to... Usually when you get cremated over here, they stick you on the shelf in the living room.
Well, that's illegal here.
Oh, right, okay.
That makes more sense. But yeah, no, it was interesting in this lineup. And I'd like to take this opportunity to talk about kind of some notable jewels that we saw from the foreign royal guests. Crown Princess Victoria wore Diamond Revere, but more importantly, she wore the sapphire bracelet of the Duchess of Albany, which is like a heirloom that hadn't been worn in like 50 years. So, I mean, I would have stood in line just to see that, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we've been, I think, well, I don't know if we've been talking about it, but I've been talking about that damn bracelet for years.
Oh yeah, I think when I was writing my article on it, it was just like I looked back at our like tweets and conversations talking about it, and that just fueled my entire like research because
yeah,
it was so much better. Yeah, and the fact that she wore it, and it was because they, it was seen in a portrait of Sibylla, like just a few weeks before she died, and it hadn't been seen since. So the fact that now it's really nice.
Yes,
it's and few, that's one of those fresh links.
Yes, and as we were talking about when we discussed the work, the British working royals, that they hadn't really put any thought behind some of their jewels, I'm absolutely certain that Victoria has been thinking, you know, there was thought about that.
Oh, yeah. Similarly, you could feel the same kind of thought behind Letizia and Maxima, yes, where they wanted to wear their best jewels. Maxima wore the diamonds from the Stuart tiara as earrings. She wore a big yellow diamond as a brooch. Queen Letizia wore the earrings of the Joyas de Pasar, which are their crown jewels, and they really felt it important to kind of emphasize that. The Queen of Thailand, as you can see here, wore Queen Sirikit's massive sapphire suite. The Queen of Malaysia wore this beautiful huge diamond necklace. And Crown Princess Mary wore the turquoises from Catherine the Great, the brooch for the first time, which we didn't even know she had. So that was lovely. Nothing from Matty Meyer, I'm afraid. Sophie wore a brooch from her mother. And yeah, that was kind of the big news on the jewel front.
I mean, Sophie of Liechtenstein isn't one to wear. She doesn't really wear big jewels, but even she put on a lot. Even she made a big effort for her.
Yes, I mean, and she wore this brooch for the Queen's funeral as well, so this is like her thing, but like they really did put an effort into kind of what they were wearing and trying to curate that in a sense. Even like because when Sam and I went to, you know, Malaysia, she talked about how because when she was asking what to wear, and I told her we're on the diamonds because Maxima will be wearing diamonds, and she then told us a story that she went up to Maxima and she was like, look, I'm wearing my diamonds because the royal watcher said you'd be wearing your big diamonds. And she said Maxima put back her hair, showed off her earrings, and said, look, he was right. So and I think that's the story I'm going to keep on telling
until you die.
I just want to say that I don't see her wearing a lot of jewels, but the Queen of Lesotho always looks really well. She always looked really, really good when she looked good this time. She looked really good when she attended the Japanese enthronement.
Yes, and the Thailand Jubilee, she looked amazing as well.
Yes, she's a spectacularly beautiful woman, actually.
She's cut out for attending these sorts of events, just to people we don't see her more. Kind of Grand Duchess Maria Theresa, out of all of them, I think wins the opposite end of the award, along with Princess Charlene for not so best dressed.
Oh, Charlene, my lover, but for God's sake, please, just wear some
heirloom jewels. Kind of honors fan, I like that she wore her like order pin on the lapel, but otherwise, same for Matty Mark, and the fact that she wore King Olaf's, King Carl's family order, so that was nice. The Queen of Malaysia was telling us that she wanted to wear her sash as well for her order, but she thought it would be too much, but then the Queen of Thailand was wearing it. And she was like, oh, I wish I did. So, because one of the things she kept on telling me before was that the instructions they were given that treated like the Japanese enthronement. And this was not the same because they wore big, full gowns and orders and lots of jewels. So I think the advice, everyone should have gone like the Queen of Thailand and done whatever they wanted. But not all the queens can be that brave.
No, and as you and me have been talking, since the dress code allowed you to dress traditionally or according to your local traditions, if you are a royal from a non-European country, you could basically do whatever you want because it's,
and you look a lot more regal, because if you look like the Queen of Lesotho, you talked about the Queen of Bhutan, the Crown Prince of Japan, the Malaysians, the Thais, they all look much more regal, more dressed up than the other royals.
Yes. And I was, I said it to you that I hope that Victoria would wear a traditional Swedish folk costume. And, you know, they had so much silver and gold in those costumes and crowns and everything. And just say that, well, you know, it's tradition.
It's tradition, yeah. Same with Matthew Meyer. And I don't think Mary has a traditional costume, but she could have worn one of her military outfits.
They don't really have local folk costumes in Denmark. A few provinces, mainly islands, have, but they are not as used as they are in Sweden and in Norway.
Mary could have worn the Greenland or the Faroe Islands costume. That would have been a stretch too far and probably a bit of a political statement. But the interesting, I think one of the conversations we kept on having before the coronation was, and you said that the European queens would be in this disadvantage because of the fact they don't have that level of national dress where they could be fully blinged out.
No.
And they did try. I mean, all of them in their own way. But
well, Maxima definitely won. She got the
Maxima won. Oh yeah.
She got the big ones in on the sly.
Mm-hmm. Hands down. Yeah. Imagine Mary too.
Yes. Mm.
I wanted to have the Ruby Pearl, but we can't have it all, let's be honest.
No, and I mean, it's also a matter of taste and personal preference, because Victoria, for instance, even when she wears a tiara and a gown, she rarely wears a tiara and a big necklace or a big bracelet.
Least in recent years, yeah.
Yeah, it's most often a tiara as a statement piece, and then something small. The biggest necklace she usually wears with a tiara is the what's it
the
called?
Stomacher one.
Yeah, the stomacher. Stomacher.
But yeah, she's not one for. But the fact that she wore a diamond Riviera and that heirloom bracelet, I think she's on the top kind of three of the best dressed for me.
And it was a lot to her. It was a lot for her.
Oh, yes. But then she usually does wear a diamond Riviera and stuff. I think she wore it for Will and Kate's wedding. And also, I think, the Luxembourg wedding. So yeah. But she does try to kind of bling out when she can.
Yeah, and her mom has been hoarding all the pearls. So what could she do?
Wear the diamonds.
Yeah, she's forced to.
Actually, we didn't see that many pearls this time, comparatively, if you think about it, even from the British royals. Matilde, I don't think anyone was really wearing pearls, like pearl necklaces or that sort of thing.
No, so, but pearls are more, you know, classical daytime or funeral.
They're mourning jewelry, really.
Yeah.
Which they should have worn because it was mourning, but I think it's a win, in my opinion, that they weren't worn.
No, mourning with a U, darling.
Yeah, I know. I tried to play it off the other way as well, double meaning. But no, I like the whole seating plan and the fact it was odd, but the fact that they were had a front row seat, I think, was better, because I remember being really pissed off last year when they sat like three rows back at the Duke of Edinburgh's memorial service. I was draining kings and queens, and they're like the household members are sitting front row in these spots. So I'm glad that they got some sort of respect this time.
One thing that happened with the during the coronation, at the end of the coronation ceremony, when the was it the bishops, they were walking along the aisle.
Yeah,
and they had their crosses, carried their crosses, and then they turned around. Everybody was sitting down, but the King of Sweden and Victoria, they stood up, and they were the only ones standing, and they kept on standing. And I noticed it, and I thought, why are they standing up? And then I realized that because in the Church of Sweden, as soon as you have a procession, especially if you have a procession where you carry a cross, you stand up.
Oh.
So they apparently, I don't know if they didn't know that it wasn't common Christian practice, or they decided to follow the protocol of the Swedish Church.
No. There you go. So we learn something every day.
I kind of like that they kept their own kind of ritual in it, and they didn't kind of let their old beliefs down.
Yeah, so do I. You know, being a Lutheran.
Especially standing up in a crowd like that. But
probably, to be honest with you, it's probably second nature. Like, I mean, I haven't been to church in years, but, you know, if you walk down the aisle of a church, you have to genuflect before you go in. That's just something you do in Catholicism, and you wouldn't think twice about it. So that's probably why they stood up.
And during the coronation service, as we were watching on TV, suddenly I was sitting there saying, "Amen."
Yeah, amen. You can't help it. It's
no, it just came natural.
They've got us.
I think I was thinking about was that Carl Gustav and Victoria, their relation kind of reminds me of my grandfather and my mother, because they're both kind of the same age as them. And with kind of the fact that if it was Victoria herself, she probably would not have stood up, but King Carl Gustav stood up and Victoria had to stand up just for moral support. Otherwise, she wouldn't have heard the end of it.
Mm. I don't know, because I remember who was it who got married? Carl Philip or Madeline, when she wore it was Madeline. When Madeline got married, she was the first one who stood up when her father and the bride, Madeline, and the church. So I think she's very traditional.
Oh, yeah.
In a way,
yeah. No, but in Sweden, they don't have, like, because Daisy and King Harald have kind of some roles within the Church of Denmark and the Church of Norway. They don't, King Carl Gustav doesn't really have any official role within the Church of Sweden, right?
No, he's not head of the church anymore, but he's always present at the opening of the church, the annual church meeting, and he's they're often present when they have new bishops and archbishops, and so they're very much involved in the church. And of course, I mean, according to the the royal family is constitutionally required to belong to the Church of Sweden. So
that's really interesting. So yeah, even if they agree and they can't be it for different religion.
No, and it was actually when church and state was separated in, I think it was the year 2000, they had initially planned that they would remove the requirement of the royals having to be members of the church, but the king asked them not to remove it. Just a side note from the coronation.
Yes, so I should rule out becoming the prince consort of Sweden as a future. So now it was interesting to see this ritual and the fact that I think that the foreign royals had some sort of visual presence in this historic ceremony. Mm-hmm. So what were your overall thoughts of everything? And before I kind of ask you guys, I do want to point out what people called Camilla 2 and Camilla 3 for most of the coronation, because I like their outfits, but they're both look so eerily similar to Camilla that it was quite uncanny at times.
What, isn't one of them her sister?
One of them's her sister, and the other one's like a very old friend, the Marchioness of Lansdowne. So, but the hairstyle, the gown, everything was very Camilla for both of them.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose they couldn't turn up like the, you know, the Queen's ladies in waiting did back in the day with the floral tiaras and shoulders on
Oh, yeah. their overall appearance, their hair, their everything, they really look like what they are. And they're like, they're Sloane Rangers 40 years after.
Definitely.
Wait, I don't think Camilla was a Sloane. She's more of a country girl, isn't she?
Well, isn't that the thing?
I mean, she was in the London scene in the 60s and 70s. She wasn't that much.
Yeah, and that's why they couldn't marry. She couldn't marry Charles because she had a reputation.
It was the swinging 60s. What else was she supposed to do?
Exactly. Notice how no one judges him.
Now, and one of the things I want to point out as well is Prince George sitting, standing inside the king's kind of mantle, because let's be honest, he's going to be wearing all this garb in one day. Yeah. Not too far in the future. Yeah, because the rest of them are behind him, but he's inside the mantle.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't noticed that.
He's also photoshopped in there, may I just add?
Bloody what?
I don't blame them. But no, the fact, I missed kind of having those glamorous ladies in waiting and choosing Earl's daughters. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the king chose the sons of peers. He didn't really depart that much from tradition, but still, we missed the kind of four duchesses holding the coronation canopy over the queen while she was being crowned, that sort of thing.
And I really don't understand the need to change, you know, their name from ladies in waiting to queen's companions. I mean, they have the same function. And also, I recently saw, I can't remember from where, and then there was suddenly called ladies in attendance.
Wow. Yeah, it's, I don't know, there's some aspects of this whole modernization drive that do not make any sense.
Well, this is what happens when you try and modernize, but you don't actually speak to people. You know, it's the men in grey suits who aren't normal human beings.
Let's be honest, yeah. So with them, I think, the Marchioness of Lansdowne and Annabelle, I believe is her name. One of the things that was amiss and the reason they looked kind of out of place is the fact that the Queen's ladies in waiting, they had orders. The Marchioness of Lansdowne as a peeress could have worn their robe. It would have made it a lot more, because like the Duchess of Devonshire, who was attending the Queen, and she wore her peeress's robes, even though she was a dowager just by then. But the fact is that sort of thing makes a difference and makes them, that would have made them stand out, be different from the Queen, whereas right now they look like bridesmaids rather than ladies in waiting. It's not what ladies in waiting are supposed to be, let's be honest.
Yeah.
No. And I mean, had it been in Sweden, for instance, they would probably have been wearing their court uniform or court dress. We haven't crowned people. We haven't crowned our monarchs for 140 years. But I mean, a court uniform is, and that's really their work uniform.
Yes. And it's cost effective too, because they don't have to buy new gowns every time.
Yes, and that's actually why it was reintroduced in the 80s, because the ladies in waiting were complaining about the massive cost they had in clothes to wear at all the balls and all the
Reception.
stages or whatever. Yeah, receptions.
Yeah, so Sweden still has like I think they have at least four tiara receptions every year. There's the Nobel stuff, that's two, and then they have two representation dinners at least. So
Yes.
in addition to state visits and outgoing visits, and it adds up to quite a lot of events.
Yes.
So no, definitely. I think overall, what were your thoughts on this coronation? Having witnessed it, what did you think?
I liked it. I'm for coronations, but
Yes.
I think it could have been executed better, and I really wonder if we will see another coronation.
Yes, I'm afraid that's what I fear as well, in the kind of general mood around this coronation and the way, not just like the way it was handled, but the way that certain stories are orchestrated was very much, they could have done aspects of this a lot better.
Well, I mean, as we've seen from the recent onslaught of PR from the Waleses, I think the next one is going to be a lot more different and a lot more hopefully in tune with the public.
Yeah.
With tiaras, hopefully, rather than those faux
Yeah.
ra tiaras made of diamonds and platinum rather than
But just get
the
something out of the vault.
yeah, because I mean, if we're going by Sam's definition, the Princess of Wales did wear a tiara, but not
It's
the
Wik I believe it's Wikipedia's definition. Thank you very much.
tiara.
No, it was definitely I think my finishing thoughts are that it was a display of ritual. The king and queen looked great most of the time, the king's outfit, I reserve my judgment. But otherwise, it was handled nicely. It could have been done better, but given the circumstances that we live in and the time crunch, there were aspects of it that were done very nicely. And despite the fact that it did kind of lack the finesse that the queen